How many this morning would raise your hand and say that you thank the Lord for saving your soul and thanking Him for being here this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 3, in verse 20. And then we're going to go back to Daniel. And we've got one verse there. And that's verse 24 in chapter 3 in the book of Daniel. We know that here, right here in the book of Revelation, right here, is speaking of the churches, 1 through 3. And then when you get into chapter 4, it starts out talking about the place that we are going to be at. We're not going to be nowhere else. But when we get down to chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be thereafter." Now, when we get to chapter 4, when we see the Lord, and then the Lord is going to tell us some things is going to happen and some things that we're going to do. But then you go back up to chapter 3 and verse 20. We see right here is talking about the last church, the church age. It's talking about the last church age right here. And it's speaking about the attitude that the churches today has got into. They've got into the wrong attitude. They're serving the wrong God. And they reading the wrong word. It's the attitude of the people. It's the attitude of the church. Today, the church don't care. I mean, really, the church today, they don't care what they preach anymore. I mean, you can't. People, you don't know. They don't even bring Bibles in. They don't even have to. Why? Because they've got that great big old screen up there. They got the screen up there, and then they got a background in there. They may have a cross way back in there. And may have a river coming, and they got a scenery there. But yet then, they got the message coming up. They got the title of the message, and they got each and every thought that comes out there. I wish that, praise God, I wish one of these churches that has the screen up there, I wish they would ask me to come. And I'm not saying it out of arrogance either, and a bad attitude. What I'm saying about that is, how do they know that they obeying God when they stand up there and preach and it's coming from the screen? Now, I don't know about them. Maybe they can get the outline and they just stick right straight to it. Well, they have to. If they stick straight with the outline that they have and the verses of Scripture, if they stick to that, then that's they can't waver one bit away from it. Because if they do, it's going to get the people in the congregation confused. Which the confusion comes from the devil. And where did the confusion start? Within the local churches. Starts right here in the pulpit. It don't start right there. Starts right here in the pulpit. But it says in verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." You'll have some people read that, they just, you know, be reading the book of Revelation, starting there. I said, I thought we're supposed to be in the book of Revelation, supposed to be going to, we're getting close to going home. But he said right here, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me." You got so many people out here believe that that verse, chapter 3 in the book of Revelation, in verse 20, is speaking about salvation. It's not. It's not speaking about salvation. It's speaking about the shape the church has got themselves into. And he's outside of the doors. He didn't come, look, I'm going to use myself as an example, which it, you know, that's the only thing I know to do. But if I come here and stood up here and preached, and I didn't have the King James Bible, and if I preached like the New King James Bible, or the NIV, or the American Standard, or other Bible right here. They say, "Well, wait a minute now. What are you doing? What are you doing? Where does the attitude of the church come from? It comes from here. It depends on the attitude that I have. So you can have the attitude that you have." We need to always be looking up and praising the Lord. What for? Because of what he done. We don't even have to even think about a blessing. We don't even have to think about him answering our prayers. Only thing we can just concentrate on, really, if we just concentrate on this one thing, we'd have to start thanking him today, and we thank him 24 hours a day from now on until the day he returns. And we can think about one thing only. That he was a friend to me. And he called me his friend. Oh, in the book of John, he called me his friend. Before I ever knew him, before I ever met him, he called me his friend. Now, why would he do that? Why would he call me his friend? Because he is an individual, a man, a savior, and a God that would love you at all costs. No questions asked. Don't make no difference what you've done, but he forgives you. Do I forgive people and some of the things that they've done to me, and they've talked about me, and they've said things about me? It's kind of hard for me to kind of look past that. And it tells me, I think it's in the book of Peter somewhere. I believe it is. It's speaking about, now we don't have the mind of Christ. See, if I had the mind of Christ, if my mind, everything that my is in here in my head and everything, and what I was thinking about and everything, it was because of him and what he done. And but see, I haven't graduated to that level. I haven't matured enough to that level that I don't think about all these other things. Yeah, I think about them. Do I want to do them? No. Do I do them? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. And then when I do them, I'll go to him and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. I need butter. But I went and done it. Forgive me. He turned to his son, Jesus Christ. He says, what am I going to forgive him for? What am I going to forgive him for? He has come and asked for my forgiveness to him. What have I got to ask forgiveness for? What does he want forgiveness for? The only thing I see is the blood that you shed at Calvary. That he confessed one day being a lost, hell-bound sinner. And he wanted to go to heaven. He wanted to be with you, son. He wanted to be with me, the Father. He wanted to be with all the other individuals here. He's not matured enough. He has not gathered that type of mind to where he can't just think about one thing because he's distracted about something. And it's taking him this way where he should have went that way. All that we can do is just help him. Only thing I can do is just ask the Holy Spirit to help him. To help him to see where he went wrong. And teach him. See, ask for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's my teacher. He is one that's never let me down. I've got an A plus with the Holy Spirit. We all have. If you're saved, you have an A plus with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we trusted him. We trusted in something that our eyes has never seen. And our ears has never heard. We trusted something that we've never seen or never heard. Speaking it all. See, but once we ask the Lord to save us, then He'll speak to us. He'll speak to us. Sometimes we believe it's the audible voice, but He will speak to us with a small, still voice that He has. And that still voice is covered. That still voice is wrapped up with the love of His Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, His Son went and done exactly what the Father asked Him to do. He did not question Him. He did not say, "Father, well, have I got to go right now? Do I have to go right now?" No, He didn't say anything about going right now, going next week, or one of them. When God said go, Jesus Christ, He went. Why? Because the Father said so. The Father said it. And He won't question the Father. Like today, we have people today that wants to really, you need to watch this too. Because you've got people like that, and you got people, they'll talk. I mean, they can talk. They can talk the Christian faith. They can talk it up. But if you talk to them long enough, and they'll talk about what you want to talk about. But if you talk to them long enough, they're going to come up and they're going to say, "What do you think about this and what he said here in the Bible?" You know, it says over in the Bible in Timothy chapter 3, and he's speaking about the priest, he's speaking about the pastor, he's speaking about the under shepherd there. And he said, "He must be the husband of one wife." He said, "What are you going to do with that? With all the divorces that you have today? What do you mean, what are you going to do about it? What does this say? You've got to be the husband of one wife, right?" You can take and read that verse. You can reread it. You can take each verse there and analyze it and get everything that you think you can out of it. Only thing Paul speaks about in that chapter to the pastor, the leader of the church, and to the deacons. Does not mention anything at all about being saved. It don't say anything about how you need to get saved. It don't tell you which Bible to read. It don't tell you that you must pray morning, noon, and night. It only thing it gives you is the qualifications to serve God in certain manners, like a pastor and like a deacon. Today we have pastors behind the pulpit today preaching God's word, and hey, yeah, they can preach. They cannot pastor. They might not have a pastor. A sign with a name on it and saying the pastor of the church. Because see, they're gonna be held accountable for that. I'm gonna be held accountable for everything that I see. I'm gonna be accountable to everything that I agree with someone else about. I'm gonna have to give him an account. And there's no need me trying to come up with an excuse. Because see, his computer there, and his data system that he has, will not even recognize any of that. Will not even recognize an excuse. Will not even recognize the type of attitude that we had at a particular time. But the church age, the last church age, the Laodicean church. We're in that last church stage. This is the day of the Laodicean church. We're right here. The next thing that happens is the coming of the Lord to take us home. And I ain't talking about him coming from heaven to this earth. I'm talking about for him coming from heaven down to step out on that cloud. Then the angel will blow the trumpet. And something else too. That was just thought of. Did you realize that the Bible teaches us that we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye? Our bodies is going to be changed. Why? Because our bodies has done got corrupt. We didn't got a little too old. We didn't got a little too chubby. Talk about things that it don't even give God the praise or anything at all. The churches. I was talking to an individual yesterday. And he's a fine man, good Christian. And he left the city of Danville, and I think he moved somewhere else, and he'd been there for a little while, maybe about two or three years. And then he came back to Danville. He's living here now. And I asked him, I says, "Now, Larry," I says, "you in church? You gone to back into church?" Because he was in church before. He left them, and I knew that he went to church outside of Danville, where he went to, because he found a place, and he told me about going to that church, and he said he really loved the church. He said, "But really, right now," he said, "it's no way I can really take and drive that three times a week. It's about a 2-hour drive from where he lives at now." The way he had moved to before. And I said, "Well," I said, "I'll tell you what." I said, "I know where a church is at. Well, I believe that you'd be probably welcome, man. I believe they would be tickled to death to even have you just to come in and just fellowship with them and everything." He said, "Well, where is the church at? Because I really don't want to go back to the one that I left him when I left them. Because they're doing some things over there that I don't agree with." And he said, "And by the way, when I say I don't agree with it, and the reason I say that is because God don't agree with it." I said, "Well," I says, If you're looking for a church, if you're looking for some people, the way you can come in and fellowship with the people, and not only just come in and fellowship with the people, but you can come in and fellowship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. But I've been, and I told him, I said, I've been in churches before and I've preached in them. And if somebody, and I mean, they would, I mean, the church, I mean, they'd be right many people in there. Probably 100 people, something like that. And some of them. But I'd just be filling in for the pastor or the interim pastor or whatever. But I said, I've been in churches. And I'd be up here preaching. And I said, and I did not change the way I preached, the way I went about my preaching or nothing. I just obeyed God. I said, but I'm winning now. And I'm winning some churches that would have a great number of people for the day. And I says, while I was up there preaching, I could hear a pin drop to the floor and land on the carpet of the pin head. That's how quiet it was. That's how the people have forgot about what the Lord had done for them, what God has done for them. God made a way to where if they wanted to and they had a choice, either they could escape hell and receive heaven. But it's their choice. God don't send nobody to hell. Never has, never will. If an individual goes to hell, it don't matter who they are, they're going on their own choice. They've made a choice up in their own mind that's where I'm going to go. Preacher says, that's kind of harsh, saying something like that. Well, yeah, it is. I says, can God blame me for allowing somebody else to choose, and they chose hell? Is God going to hold that against me? No, because I didn't make the choice for them. The choice that I wanted to make for them is a choice that I wanted them to go home with me. I wanted them to spend eternity with me and my family and with God and all his family there in heaven. But it's not going to happen. Why? Because God gave them a free will. That's the only thing that God has given man. A free will. And that free will is to where we can either accept his word for what it says and read it and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. But we won't even give God a time of day today. We're having a whole lot of people, they say, well, you know, I tell you, I don't understand how you can say God has blessed you all that much. So how can you say that God is still blessing you? They say your kidneys is not working all that good. And they fail it in the third stage of failure. And your liver's not doing all that good either. And your legs are not doing all that good because you can't even stay upright. And how can you thank God? How can you thank God for his blessings? How can you say, God, I thank you for what you've done for me? It's not about what I can do and what I can't do. It's about my faith and who I have my faith in. Went to the eye doctor here a couple weeks ago. He examined my eyes. And he said, well, seemed like your eyes has improved a little bit. He says, now, you ain't got 20/30, you got 20/20 with bifocals and all that. I said, well, that's good. So we're getting ready to leave and come out of the examining room. And then he went by the door to go up to the next room. And I was standing at the entrance of the door, and when he went by and everything, I said, Doc, you have a good day today. He said, I'm going to have a good day. I said, I know it. I said, but you know, he looked at me and he said, you have a good day too. I said, I always have a good day. Because I never know. The day that my ears is going to perk up and hear that sound that I've never heard before. And that's when the trump of God will sound. And I'm going to heaven. When the trump of God sounds, it's not just one going. We're all going. And Doc, I want to ask you something. Are you saved? He said, oh, yes. He says, if you're going, I'm going with you. And he said, I'm going to be right there with you. He said, I'm not going to be lagging behind these. He said, I'm going to be right beside your side. We're going to both enter at the same time. I said, hallelujah, praise God. I said, that's the only thing that today that I'm looking forward to. And that's the only thing that I can praise God about. And God tells us over in the book of Titus that we must praise him and we must thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for his love. And just thank him for who he is. And we must always have a heart and have our minds focused on the coming back of the Lord Jesus. Take us all home. And when we all go home, we're not going to be doing some of the things that here on earth that let's say we have to do, and that's the law of the land, which it all comes, all of that comes from God. But it's just the comfort that it gives me. Over there in the book of Daniel, I got one verse I'm going to read, and that's it. My preaching is about to be done. Oh, me, I don't know. You're kind of hoarse now. But here in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and verse 20, Daniel, chapter 3, I say verse 20, 24, in verse 24, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors. He didn't go to God. He didn't go to the synagogue. He didn't go to the priest. He didn't go to nobody else. He didn't go to the religious crowd or anything to talk to them about this. But he went to the government, the counselors, the sheriffs, and talked to them about all of this. Talked to them about what he had saw when his guard came back and rushed in to see the king. And when they rushed in, they said, "Oh, king, you need to come with us. I know that some hold out that I'm ad-libbing, but can't say it didn't happen that way, because I don't know and you don't know either. We just got God's word. We just got a portion of God's word." But it says right here, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded at what he had heard and what his soldiers had brought back to him, because he had sent them out to where the three Hebrews was at. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they was at, where they placed him into the furnace. The king wanted his men, his army, to go back and look through the wonder at the door, see what they could see. And when they saw it, they rushed back to the king. And the king, after what they told the king, the king could not believe it. He said, "I've got to go. I've got to go and let my eyes see this. I don't believe them. I mean, because I know how hot the furnace was. I know how much of the blaze was, because I asked them to turn the temperature up on it. I asked them to turn the thermostat up 7 times hotter than it ever has been." He said, "So I know it was hot. I just don't understand what they really saw. If they just maybe saw the individual just standing there and they thought there was a light." He says, "You know, it can't be. It can't be." So he rose up with haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered, said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like to the Son of God." What the king is saying right here, the king says, "I see Meshach, I see Abednego. And I see the 3 servants there. But then I got to look it a little closer, because it took my eyes. It astonished me in what I'd seen. I just could not believe it, because I knew how hot it was. Because when they placed them in the furnace there, and then when they turned the heat up on the furnace, the heat was so hot now, the heat singed their hair. the smoke of the sin, where sin's thy hand, the smoke had got into thy clothes. But you know, I don't see where they've been hurt at all. They ain't been hurt. Matter of fact, their hair has never been more beautiful than what it is today. It's so black. They've got a full head of hair. It's a little long down, coming past the ears and down. And he says, you know, I got so amazed at that, I couldn't think no more, hardly. And I had the glimpse of my eye. And I looked. I backed up. Looked again. I backed up. And he saw the three Hebrews over there. And he told his army. He told his the captains. He told the governors. He told the priests. He told them all there. He said, didn't I give y'all an order to do? Didn't I tell you to go and put them in the fiery furnace? Not just to let them go in the room where they can just wander around, because if they just go and wander around, they can go and take a thermostat and turn the thermostat down on cool. Where it's going to be cooling now. And naturally, you ain't going to see no one's head. Their head and their hair singed by the coolness of the weather around them. And you're not going to have no smoke on them, because the only thing that you're going to, only thing you know is, now they got the air conditioner. And they said, oh, king. And they knew. Same way with this king, same way with his army here, is the same way that the same army there where Paul and Silas there was in prison. And they knew if the prisoner got escaped and the prison just left on his own, and he did not do what he could to handle them, he would be put to death as soon as their commander, or what they want to call him. They know that they would be put to death, and they drew out their sword and they was going to kill them on themselves. And Paul and Silas says, do thyself no harm. Do thyself no harm. I believe this. And said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto him, unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of fire, and they had no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. King, he realized something. He realized that there was an individual that had more power than he had. See, he thought he had all the power. He had built a golden image out of gold. He invited the elite to come to the grand party that he was putting on because of the golden calf. All of that. And no doubt when the king come about and when he saw, it wasn't just three there, that he saw a fourth man there. I believe he was about ready to do like the guard was where Paul and Silas was at. And the three Hebrews come out and says, do thyself no harm. We love you. God loves you. And then I believe it's in the fourth chapter, in the fourth chapter, the latter part of that chapter. It's where Nebuchadnezzar tells his men and tells all the people that he's speaking to at that time, you do no harm to these. If you do, you're going to pay the price. I mean, I know the very word. It's basically what he was saying. He told the governors. He told the high of people that was that he invited. The elite of that day, the high up people, the officials, and says, if you do them any harm, or if you say anything against them at all, you will answer. That's what the same things we, I believe, God has said to us today. That if we don't, do what he says to you, if we don't stay faithful to this word right here, then it's going to come up like it does in the book of Matthew, I believe it is. You came. You cast out demons. You cast these out. You cast them out. And if all of that happened, and you said that you know me and you worship me, but I have never known you. Why did he say that? Just like me, just say, I'm speaking by myself today, I'm speaking by myself. If I didn't know the Lord, if I never went to him and asked him to save my soul and establish my goings and allow me to go to heaven and to teach me what his word is saying, I wouldn't have the opportunity either. I would be just like the others. So many people today are losing now. They are trading their attitude. They're trading that in for the real thing. And some of them are not even trading it in. Because I've heard of one church in the last 6 months that they had people to come in and had the conviction of God in the church. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit
grabbed a hold of the soul and took them by the neck and brought them to the altar where they got saved. And then they got baptized. Now they're serving in the church. Now they're teaching. Now they're singing in the church. They're doing this and they're doing that in church. That's just the best decision the dad ever made in our life. Says they wish they'd have made it 25 or 30 years ago. You see, they weren't in church to receive it. You know, the only thing that draws a man or woman to the Lord Jesus for salvation is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes them. The Holy Spirit came to me that day and said, Donnie, says, I know you love your wife. And I know you love it, that precious dog that you have. I know you love it. But Donnie said, if something happened to you right now, your wife is going to be a widow. And your daughter, she ain't going to have a father. So what are you talking about? He said, well, you have no guarantees when you drive out and you drive out of your driveway that not a transfer truck is coming down the road and then another vehicle is coming up the road and the other one is just a flying will come because the police is chasing them and everything. Then you have a wreck. You have a wreck. Your wife and your daughter, they come out of the fine, they breathe easy, they come out of the fine, and says, you know, they thought they made it, that you was going to end up coming out of it fine too. But then after they got you to the emergency room, and then, when all was said and done, you are not going to be one to remember them at all. Because the only thing that you're going to remember is everything what somebody else has said to you that's invited you to church or invited you to allow them to be able to come and talk to you about the Lord. That's the only way we can get things done. But people today don't want to do it. I mean, I'm not talking about this church right here. I mean, I'm just talking about church in general. I know that you'll do it. And I know that you, some of you, you may not feel like it. You can go out here and do it. But I do know one thing. The reason I'm still standing today, and I have to give God all the glory and praise for that, but I also got to give you some praise also because I know that you pray for me daily. You have to. Because I'm able to come to church and be able to walk in here and behind this pulpit and still preach, thus saith the word of God. Amen. As it's written, and will not waver one bit from it. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, today for this message, Father. And we, God, I thank you, Father, that you came down and you revealed the message. And Father, I pray, Lord, that the message, Father, had went out and touched the people's hearts. Father, because if it did not touch the heart, and if it does not help them within an attitude change or something, then, Father, then it must have been my fault because I said something that I shouldn't have said. But I know that you never spoke a word to me that would speak to them in a way to where they would never come forward. Oh, Father God, I ask right now that you'll take each one of them. Father, for my wife. No, Lord, for me. Me being in the first one here to be the under shepherd. My prayer is that you would give me a vision or something to be able to call a certain individual, because you know that there's certain individuals are not in church today. Oh yes, they used to be in church, but they got out of church because somebody within the congregation hurt their feelings. So they got out of church. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, you will lead me to that individual. And Father, you'll go speak to him before I get there. The Father said, as soon as I drive up, they'll come out the door and they say, oh yes, I forgive you. Oh yes, I forgive you. And I'm going to be back at church Sunday. I'm going to come Sunday. Whatever you want me to do, if you want me to get out there and sweep the driveway, I'll sweep the driveway. If you want me to get out there and just sweep the sidewalks, I'll do that. I'll come inside the church and I'll pick up everything. I'll even do the dusting and everything. That can happen. Oh, Father. Lord God, we pray. For the strength of this body of people that, Father, that we can all come together in one accord. Thinking about and praying for somebody. And touching the throne room of heaven. Thank you for that. Father, I'm like your son now. I know you did not create it, and your son did not create it. That was hell. Father, man is the ones that's enlarged hell, not you. Oh, Father. Lord Jesus, you know what battles that this church has been in. Father, you know what it needs. We think it needs this and that, but Father, we really don't know. But you do, and I pray that you may reveal a portion of what you do know that needs to be done through us, that where the people in the community and the people at work that we come around, before we even go and speak to them, they just look and they see us and they see a change within us. They see a smile on our face. They see a little joy in our step. And they hear about all the praises that the individual's given. Father, help each one of us to do that this week. I know, Father, that so many preachers have said that it's, if one individual was to come wholeheartedly sell out everything that they have, set it out to the Lord. And say, Lord, here it is. It's yours. I don't need it. The only thing I need, Lord, is a little bit more of your power. And Father, if we would just listen, if we just listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us this week, and he does, he's going to speak to you. He cannot go a day without speaking to us, because he wants to be praised too. But we know that it's only through the preaching of your word that will draw all sinners to you, Lord Jesus. So they must hear the word before they get saved. And then, Father, when you hear the word and then they act upon it and they get saved and they really, really, truly turn everything over to you, then they can come and say, hey, you have got a new creature in me. Father, sometimes I just don't know what to say anymore. Because, Father, as much as I read, and as much as I know you, and as much as I know this church, and what this church was built on, what it stood on for almost 55 years now, Father, please, don't let us get to the point that we're going to get into the attitude program, that we have the I don't care anymore, because we should. We should care about that soul. Father, I know there's people here that's got family. I don't know. Lord, I've heard someone talk about, says that, well, they're not in church. Some say that, well, I don't even know if they're saved or not. Lord, I don't know either. It's not up to me. That's up to you. You know what their heart is going through. Oh, Father, you know what the heart of the people here at Faith Baptist Church is going through. Father, I believe I can honestly say this and not have to come back and say it, I'm sorry, because the way I said it. I do not believe that there's one individual in here that does not want to see their family to prosper, even their own selves to prosper. And I know, Father, that they do not want to see their family to wait too late. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, right now. Oh, God, if they know of anybody, if they know in the family members, well, I can't go and talk to my family member. I can't go and talk to them because they know what I used to be. Oh, Father God, I pray that you'll press it upon them. If today today, or maybe one day this week, they feel like that if they go that they're going to get a cold shoulder or something because the individual that maybe has knew the past. And people today, they just want to continue to bring up the past. God don't want to hear about the past. The only thing God wants to hear about is the present and the future. I pray, Father, Lord, that you may press it upon them that if they can't go, that, Lord, did you speak to them in a way that where they can just give me a call or they can just mail me a letter and give in the individual's name, the address, phone number, whatever. And I promise to you, Father, that which is in heaven, that they will never, never hear it comes from my lips where I got their name from. Not unless the individual that's here, that gives me the name, unless they want them to know it was them. Oh, Father God, help us, Lord Jesus, pray. Father, I thank you for everything that you've done for this church. But Father, we need some more people. I need to see people come in the church. I need to see people saved. Father, because if we don't, we're going to get so cold and so stagnated that we ain't going to be able to see anything. So Lord, just reveal unto us what we must do. If we must be the individual that calls or go by and sees the individual, or we need to call somebody else and see if they would mind. I don't mind going nowhere. I don't mind going nowhere and talk to someone else about the Lord. But I know that you have to really watch the way you say things, because their ears are so perked up to the point that they hear every word that comes out of your mouth. They hear every vowel. They hear everything. Father, the only thing I want you to hear is about a Savior that loved them enough where he called them his friends. But he wants his friends to come and talk to him. He wants to see his friends saved. Because as soon as it sins, soon as the individual gets saved, then not only will Jesus say, "You are my friend, and I thank you for being my friend," then they can turn to you and say, "Oh Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for being my friend that I can honestly call you my friend. And I know that you'll never let me down. You'll never talk about me. You'll never let me down." Oh, Father, this prayer request that I have spoken out, Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, as in touching heaven, we are all in agreement, is my prayer, that we want the same thing together to happen here
at Faith Baptist Church. The father, the people can say, well, what's happening then in faith? Man, I see cars in all the time. I see people down there, and they're always doing something outside the church. They're always doing something, cleaning up and everything. They painting and everything. Lord, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear people talk about Faith Baptist Church and the people in it and the people that's come and join the church, join the fellowship. Oh God, I pray, my prayer is right now. I know the Father that we could use the help here. Not just in body, but we need it spiritually also. So Father, we pray, and we're asking right now that everything, the Father, that I said, and Father, I pray that I did not say anything either way, that I did not say anything to hurt anybody. That's not my purpose here. Father, I believe I know you well enough to know, and what I've read about you, that you would love to see this church, Faith Baptist, at 4341 South Boston Highway, Ringgold, Virginia, was growing. They weren't just growing just with numbers, but they was growing because people was coming in and they was getting saved and joining the fellowship to where we can all praise God together. And we thank you. Once again, I thank you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I know you're going to do your part, but now we've got to do our part. And if we don't do our part, then you cannot fulfill your part. Father, we must do our part that you have put upon us. And we thank you today for all of the things that you've so blessed us with. I thank you, Father, for this body of people, the under-shepherd that I have here, the people that I am over here, and being the under-shepherd, being the individual supposed to take care of them and look after them. Father, I want the very best for them, and I know you do. And Father, we just claim it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Thank you, Father, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if anybody needs to come to the altar.